Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right. So, hey, welcome back to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform for Black women, a safe space for Black women who are looking to get to where the healing resides. We are actively in this process of healing. We are actively in this process of claiming, laying claim to our joy and laying claim to a life of abundance and all of those beautiful things as we heal. So right off the bat, I want to say this episode, if you're listening on the podcast, may sound a little bit different because I am not just recording this episode the way that I typically do. Now I am recording this episode on Zoom, and I'm recording it on Zoom or in the Zoom platform because at some point, y'all, I want to get to a place where I am able to start posting videos to YouTube, so content to YouTube, because I realize that everyone doesn't necessarily listen to podcasts. And so if I can, what do they say, kill two birds with one stone, I guess, which would be to create an audio file for, iTunes, Spotify, things like that. And then also just take that content and put it onto YouTube. It doesn't require me to do more work. It's like, it's the same amount of labor regardless, more or less, you know what I mean? So, and on top of that, I want to do it because it's going to help me to get out of my comfort zone. If you've been following the show or the podcast for a while, I have not shied away from the fact that this, and I'm moving my hands again, for those of you that are listening on the podcast, this is not like my lane as far as like being on camera and showing up in this way. I struggled and still deal with just this narrative in my mind that says a lot of things, okay? Including, I'm still dealing with, like, you're not good enough to have a platform. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough to say things in a way that people will relate to. You're not, I don't know, even good looking enough to like hold someone's attention. Like just all this like inner critic BS basically that I'm assuming is here to keep me stuck and safe, quote unquote, and imposter syndrome and all those things are showing up in such a way. And honestly, I feel like I'm moving in a really good direction or a great direction, because the higher you elevate, the more things are gonna kind of like come into your path, and they're gonna either impede your growth or they're gonna allow you to continue blooming. But there's work required to like get to that next level sometimes. And so that's where I am right now. So when I come to you each week on the podcast, I'm sorry, there's a dog barking. There's always a dog barking. When I come to you each week on the podcast, I want you to know that I'm not coming to you from a place of I am so healed and I'm just living this hashtag fabulous life and like all those things. I am still doing the work. The difference for me, though, at least at this point, is that I guess the old version of Bree, I was in a place where I was just learning about the work, or I was thinking about the work, or kind of dipping my toe into the work. But now I'm in a place where I know the things that, you know, help me to elevate, and I can continue to learn about those things. But now, for certain parts of my life, it's time to put those things into action. So that's one of the reasons, again, why I am now going to do my best to record these podcast episodes on Zoom, so that way I have video. Okay, so we'll see what happens with that. All right, on this episode of the podcast, I want to share about my experience I recently had, as in just in the last few days. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. Where I held a Black woman's hand. I know that sounds really simple. I know that sounds really basic, but just that opportunity to do that was powerful, okay? And I wanna encourage you, the point of this episode is to encourage you to allow yourself to be open to making connections with other Black women, okay? So I'll talk about that. At the top of the episode, I always like to talk about or share what I've done for self-care in the last few days, last few weeks, etc. And there's not anything new that I can think of. Well, actually, I guess one thing that I don't think I've shared ever is, I do talk about the fact that I have a therapist. A therapist that I work with, and I'm grateful to work with him. And so I had a therapy session just a few days ago, and then I had another therapy session, excuse me, maybe like a week or two ago, can't remember exactly when. So I've definitely been doing that for self-care, and just the conversations that we have has been very helpful. And I'm gonna continue to talk about therapy whenever possible, because I realized that even though that's a part of my experience, that isn't necessarily the part of the experience of others. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Some people don't believe they need therapy. Some people just don't have the access to therapy to even be able to have that experience. And I think we all need therapy. Honestly, I don't care how great your life was. I don't care how poor your life was. I feel like everybody can benefit from therapy. Everybody. And I don't care if you are in your 20s or if you are in your 60s or 70s. Everyone needs therapy at some point in their life. And as I was telling someone actually today and a few days ago and a few days. So actually I've talked about this three times in three different conversations. We, as in you, me, the other women that listen to this podcast, we are being required to do the work. We are being required to heal so that we can live with, deal with, be with, people that don't believe in the work or don't believe they need therapy or don't believe that they need any healing, if that makes sense. So it's like, because we're dealing with those type of people, because we're dealing with people that have that mentality, and I'm not even talking about the people that don't have access, for example, to therapy. I'm talking about the people who specifically don't feel like there's any work to be done. They don't feel like they you know, need to learn how to navigate life from a place of more emotional maturity, with more just from their best self, or a more healed version of themselves. You know what I mean? We're dealing with people that are like that. We definitely are required to do the work, because for us to be able to even deal with those kind of people. We've got to be a better version of ourselves, or a more healed version of ourselves, not a perfect version of ourselves, but a more healed version of ourselves. Okay. And I'm sure you can think of at least one person in your life who is living their life from a place of pain, trauma, emotional immaturity, just all those things. And so it's a requirement for you just to be able to like deal with that, however you need to deal with that, whether it's boundaries or like whatever, however you need to deal with that person or that situation, it requires you to be in doing the work. Does that make sense? It requires you to be able to approach them from a place of healing, okay? So that you can protect your peace, so that you can not burn out from dealing with this person or this situation, et cetera. So hopefully that makes sense. But yeah, I've just been in therapy, and that is definitely, definitely helping me tremendously. So that is what I did for self-care in the last weeks, last few days, et cetera. Okay, y'all, I do apologize for the dog barking. I don't really know how much of that sound is going to pop up on this audio, but I guess we will see when I go back and listen to this. Okay, so the point of this episode again is just about, I guess, how about we talk about friendship and intimacy with other Black women, because that is something that has been hard for me. It has been hard for me to have these really deep, meaningful, healthy relationships, loving relationships, intimate relationships with other Black women, because I was not one that was able to, again, show up as a version of myself that was even really open to being able to receive that. I was heavily into self-sabotage. So the little friend, or the friends I have, like I have one friend, my bestie, who I've known for 20 years, I would say. Hold on. Actually, no, maybe like 25 years. Now that I'm thinking about it, about 25 years, I'm blessed to have her in my life. And I'm surprised that I have her in my life. And I've talked about this before, but I was something else back in the day. I was something else back in the day. And I'm not saying that I'm not still a version of that, but excuse me, let me take a sip here really quickly of my cold coffee. Yeah, that's really cold. But yeah, that version of me, I was something else, y'all. I was something else. And if you want to go back and find those episodes where I talked about that, God bless you. But I'm surprised that I have her friendship, honestly, because I was so like beaten up inside. Like I just didn't even, and also I didn't really know how to have, I didn't know how to be in relationship with anyone. Friendship, intimate partner, boyfriend, spouse. Like I didn't really know how to be in relationship with people. And I'm still trying to navigate that, because I'm in a place in my life where I feel like I'm definitely, I really want to have some deep relationships with people. I really do. I want to have that connection with people. I want to have that intimacy with people. And by intimacy, I want to be clear, I'm not talking about sex. This is not an episode about me finding a man or a partner or anything like that. This is about, I'm legit seriously talking about the intimacy of friendship and being in a relationship with another Black woman or Black women as a whole, because that's important to me. That's important to me. I didn't really have that modeled to me when I was younger, at least not that I can recall. So me going out there and self-sabotaging, especially with all the stuff that I experienced growing up and all the stuff I experienced in my very young adulthood, it's not surprising. It's not surprising, you know? But now again, like I said, I'm definitely a different version of myself. I'm in a more healed place, okay? And so I think I'm really ready for that experience. And so I love how God was like, okay, bet, you ready. Okay, you've done some of the work and you're ready. And so I was talking to God and I was like, and I ask God for stuff and I feel like I should be able to, and I do. But I have been asking God, like, okay, God, start to bring these people into my life. Start to bring these people into my life that I can build with. And by build, I mean like grow in different capacities. And he's been faithful because I, like I said, I have started to have people come into my life. Like I have this very small and private sister circle of about 4 or 5 Black women. And we talk once a week. We have a group text. We're actually looking to have this co-op and this collective. So you might be hearing me talk about that more. Plus we are possibly doing a podcast. You can go and check it out. It's called BFF Collective or Black Femme Freedom on Instagram. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, Black Femme Freedom or BFF Collective. So that's coming. And we see ourselves living in community together. And we're all moms and we're gonna buy land. And, you know, it's just gonna be a whole experience. And so I'm really looking forward to that. But so I have that circle. And building friendships with these women. And it has not been easy for me, okay? It has not been easy for me because, again, keep in mind, I've talked about the different traumas and my emotional immaturity and just, you know, different things like that. And by the way, I wanna let you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, and this will probably be a different podcast episode, but I've know that my ACE score, like my childhood adversity score, is I believe it's a 9 or a 10. I have to go back and do it, and it's a 9 or a 10 out of 10. Okay, so hopefully that gives you an idea of kind of like what my experience has been like. So I'm telling you that, or I'm saying that because imagine that score and the type of person it takes to have that score. And then imagine that person trying to just be out there trying to have relationships and that self-sabotage coming in. Like, since I hadn't been doing the work, especially back then, I did see therapists back then, but the ones I saw, they didn't really align with me. I could tell that one of the dudes was just about the money. It was just about the money. I just never found really a therapist that really aligned with me. And I'm thankful that my therapist now does. But yeah, sometimes it's not easy to find that person that you click with and gets you, right? So just imagine that girl that's out there, you know, with an ACE score of 9 or 10, self-sabotaging and bombing a lot of her relationships. That was me. So, yeah, anyway, going back to what I was saying, but so yeah, I have that little intimate sister circle and I'm very thankful for them because they're helping me to grow and expand just like I'm helping them to grow and expand. And then I have my really good friend that I've had for 25 years. We just met up for lunch in the last few weeks, which was really, really nice. And then, getting to the point about holding this Black woman's hand, I had recently had breakfast with an old friend, and I'm not going to go into the details because it's a really long story. So long story short, we met because we happened to work in the same building, and then our kids ended up going to the same, or like one, like my daughter and her, one of her sons ended up going to the same like preschool and elementary school. It's a private school in our area. And yeah, so I have known her for, gosh, maybe about 15 years, I would say. Yeah, maybe like 15 years is when I first met her. And we ended up losing touch. You know, life just be life. And even though we literally live, like I said, maybe 10, 15 minutes away from each other, we ended up losing touch. Just how life happens to happen. Like my daughter ended up going to a different school and, you know, all that stuff. So, and I wasn't working in that building anymore. I had moved on to a totally different job. And so, you know, just life. And then we probably ended up losing each other's phone numbers and here we are. But anyway, she happened to see me on Instagram. I don't even know how she found me, but she reached out. And I'm so thankful that she was vulnerable enough, you know, and confident enough to do that. And it was so nice. And so she reached out. And immediately I hopped on Her name is Barb, and I hopped on. I was like, "Hey, Barb, of course I remember you." And da 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 da. And my go-to is always like, "Hey, let's meet for lunch," or "Let's meet for breakfast." That's like literally always my go-to. Like, "Hey, let's meet for this. Let's meet for that." And she was like, "Yeah, sure." So we ended up meeting for breakfast a few days later, or a week or two later, or whenever it was. It was really nice. I thought I was only going to be there for like an hour, but we ended up staying at the restaurant for like 3 hours. 3 hours, y'all. That's a long window of time. And the time just melted away. That's how you know you're aligning with someone, or you're tapping into those things that you need, either physically or spiritually, something like the time, just like, how you get into that creative flow and you start a project. Let's say you make bracelets and they help to, I don't know, soothe your mind or something, or something, you bake or you do whatever. And you start at, for example, 10 a.m. and you look up and it's already 3 p.m. You know what I mean? It was kind of like that. So that's how I knew that I was like dialed into something that my spirit had been calling for. Cause I never felt like, okay. Cause I've gone to lunch and I with someone and have felt uncomfortable and felt like I was like, this is really not a friendship for me. Like inside, like, like my spirit was like, this is not a relationship or friendship for me. Because there's something about this person that is clashing with me and who I am, or who I am becoming. And it's not that that person's bad or whatever, there doesn't have to be any negativity to it necessarily. But I feel like our into like when we tap into our intuition, or we just allow our spirit or soul to speak, like it, our bodies, obviously, you've talked about this before, our bodies definitely tell us things. Our bodies definitely communicate with us if we are quiet enough, still enough to hear what our bodies are saying. We'll pick up on those messages. So there's been times I've gone to lunch with someone thinking, oh, this might possibly be a new friend. And I'm like, no, that's not what you want. So in any case, I didn't feel that with Barb. I didn't feel that with Barb. And so, like I said, we were there for like 3 hours, and we were literally, I pray that there comes a time in your life, like if you don't have this, like I don't really have a bunch of this in my life, but I do feel like I'm starting to have it now. But my prayer for you, my hope for you, my desire for you, my wish for you, Black woman, is that you have opportunities in your life to align with people that just touch your soul, that nurture your spirit. They're like a balm for your spirit, because it's a beautiful thing. It's something when you can just lay your burdens down, they can lay their burdens down, and you can just have that connection with another woman, another Black woman. That's honestly my hope for you. Because when Black women come together, y'all, when Black, there is something so beautiful and restorative or restorative and just regenerative and transformative, like all these words, right? When Black women come together, when there's a union of Black women, it can just be such a beautiful thing. And so while I was there with her, and that's my wish for you, that you have these moments in your life where you just feel that, what that feels like. Because I know for a lot of us, for whatever reason, we haven't had that, or we haven't had it yet, or we haven't had many opportunities to experience that. Okay, for whatever reason. And so, like I said, while I was there for we were having our breakfast, and we were there for like literally 3 hours. And we were talking about everything. Like she was sharing, giving me updates on her husband, her children, her family, her work. I was giving her updates on my life and my daughter and what I'm doing these days. And then we were talking about things that are just so healing. We're talking about healing and self-love and self-care and trauma and just all these things that Black women should be allowed to freely express. That was literally what the conversation was about. And it was so nurturing and loving and beautiful. And there was no stress, there was no drama, there was nothing in my spirit that was like, this is not for you. It felt safe. I could be vulnerable. How many opportunities do we have to feel vulnerable? Maybe not a lot. Maybe not a lot. And in order to feel vulnerable, there has to be, I'm not a vulnerability expert by any means, but for me at least, to be vulnerable, I've got to feel some safety in there. This environment or that space I'm in has to have created some type of environment where I feel safe enough to just be. And we've talked about that too, just Black women being able to be. How often are we able to just be? How often? Can you just be at home? Can you just be at work? Like, in other words, can you, when I say just be, like, be yourself, fully yourself, fully yourself. Can you do that at home? Can you do that at work? Can you do that in your relationships?
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Waze Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Waze Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Waze Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Waze Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Can you do that while you're out in public, under the gaze of others, under the white gaze? Can you just show up and be yourself? Can you? That's something I want you to think about. These spaces that I'm moving in, whether it's work, home, partnerships, relationships, the events you go to when you're out and about, like in the place that you live in, just all these different places where we need to show up. Can you just be? Can I just be myself? Can I just be Brie? And whatever that is for me, right? Just showing up in such a way that is fully me in my authentic form. A lot of times I wasn't able to do that for different reasons. Sometimes we can't be because we're going into work and we've got to put on this armor. We've got to put on this facade. We've got to do things like code switch and, you know, look respectable, look presentable. I'm doing those words in quotes. And that could be your hair, your makeup, the clothes you wear. It could be because you have, for example, let's say you have big boobs, just, you know, or a big booty or whatever. So you feel like you have to, you got to dress a certain way because you do, your body's thick or whatever. You've been told that you are not quote unquote professional because of what you're wearing, or just, you know, different things like that. So you can't just be at work because the priority there is I got to make this money, right? The priority there is I've got to make this money. Or you're in survival mode, you know, I have something in my eye. Hold on, y'all. I literally got a hair in my eye. Oh boy. That does not feel good. So hopefully that doesn't bother me for the duration of this. But yeah, how often can Black women just show up and just be? We need more spaces where we can do that. We need more spaces where we can just show up as our free selves, as our liberated selves, right? And a lot of us don't have that yet. A lot of us don't have that yet. Where do we have those opportunities to just be? And that was the experience that I had when I went to breakfast with my friend, and it was beautiful. And so anyway, there came a point, and I'm getting to the point of just like holding a Black woman's hand and how intimate that could be and how powerful that can be. So during the breakfast, we're maybe like an hour in or hour and a half, 2 hours in. I don't know exactly when it happened, but again, keep in mind, we were talking about joys of life, struggles of life, childhood trauma. I mean, this conversation was heavy. It was heavy at points, heavy conversation done beautifully. And so I was saying something to her, and something in my spirit just told me, like, instinctually, to reach out and grab her hand and hold her hand. And so I did. I reached out and I held her. I grabbed onto her hand as I was talking, and she grabbed my hand back and she squeezed it and she firmly held it. And it was in that moment where that connection just kicked up even more. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And I'm wondering if you've had an opportunity to connect with a Black woman in that way. When is the last time you've been like touched, you know, by another Black woman? And I'm asking that specifically because I feel like there is just something so powerful in our touch. There's something so powerful, and you may not even realize it, okay? But there's just something so powerful when we touch other people physically. I'm not even talking about emotionally and spiritually. Obviously, that's super powerful, but don't underestimate the power that you have to connect with someone with just a touch. It could be the squeeze of a hand, holding someone's hand. And let's not be afraid to hold another Black woman's hand. I know that it's definitely more acceptable for women to hold hands. I know it's not acceptable for Black men or for men to hold hands. I'm not saying I think it's unacceptable. I'm just saying society-wise, it's not acceptable for men to hold another man's hand, at least not in the US, in the circles that I'm aware of or the environments I'm aware of. And I know that it's more so acceptable for women, but it's still not really acceptable to see, for example, you know, like two little girls, how they might hold hands and they'll just walk and skip together, things like that. Of course, that's acceptable. It's totally cute. Number one, it's really cute. You know how when little girls see their friends, they get so excited. That is so cute to me. Anyway, it's obviously acceptable. It's even acceptable for little boys to hold hands, or I think it is. I don't know, but it's acceptable for little boys to hold hands and, you know, with their little friends and things like that. But then the older we get, it just becomes, it's less acceptable. It's judged. It's wrong. It's nasty. It's given this negative connotation. And we're just so turned off, I guess, or so, at least for me, I was not dialed into like being intimate in such a way with another woman to develop a friendship, a sisterhood, a connection in that way. And I just wasn't in a place and very self-sabotagey. I know that's not a word, but it's just very powerful. And you never know what your touch can do for someone else. And keep in mind that we're so powerful that the thing that same, like the touches that we can give can also be very destructive. We can tear people down and we can build people up with our touch. And so what I want for you is to be in alignment and to find, you know, people that you can be in relationship with where touch is not off the table, where people are not, and not everybody's open to it, because some people do have like sensory things, they don't want to be touched, or may require really reaching a certain level of intimacy where they'll be open to a hug. It's not about someone being obligated to do these things. It's for me, at least in my, where I am right now in my journey, I want that type of intimacy with another Black woman or with another person, but definitely with Black women, because it's not something that I really was accustomed to. I wasn't really given, as far as I can remember anyway, and sometimes my memory is not always 100%, but based on my recollection, I didn't really get a lot of hugs and loving touches when I was a kid. I just didn't. It wasn't, I don't think that was a natural thing that was just extended to me. I don't really recall getting much of that. And now that I'm older, I understand how important that is and would have been for me as I was growing. And so as we kind of work, because this is also reparenting, at least for me too, just as I heal and grow, and again, since it is again to me a part of like reparenting myself in a loving, gentle, compassionate way, that is something that even though I didn't really get it as a kid growing up, or even as like a young person, a young adult or a teenager, I can cultivate those types of relationships now. And I want to cultivate those types of relationships. I want to have the type of friendships, at least some of them, where I can just go up and hug someone because she is maybe, for example, struggling with something, or hug someone because she is happy. Or again, be able to make that connection and hold somebody's hand and be like, sis, I got you, or I love you, or I don't know, just, I don't know. It's just, there's just something so very powerful when we're able to touch and connect in that way. And I feel like a lot of us didn't get that type of support because our parents weren't able to give that to us because maybe they didn't have that in their life. And so my thing is, just because we didn't have that doesn't mean that we can't experience it now, or we can't build it now. Of course, they're drag racing down the street. Like, I cannot make this up. Literally every time I go to record, there's always some noise. I would literally have to go to like the peaks of the Himalayas or some mountain to be able to have silence to be able to record this podcast. It just never doesn't not boggle my mind. In any case, just because we didn't have that growing up, and you can apply this to anything. I'm specifically talking about just connection and intimacy and touch, right? Just because we didn't have that thing, if that's not what you had growing up, doesn't mean that you're not good enough to have it. It doesn't mean that you can't have it. It doesn't mean you cannot cultivate that type of lifestyle now, starting now and in the future, because you can. You can. It is going to require some vulnerability. Can't even say that word. And it is going to require you feeling brave enough and safe enough to, open yourself up to those kind of experiences and to say that that is what you want out of friendship or some of your friendships or whatever it is that you want. But it's definitely ours to have. And all of this, this is definitely another way to lay claim to the joy that was snatched away from us years ago, decades ago, centuries ago. Lay claim to that joy, lay claim to that love, because that is love, okay? And I feel like when you're able to do those kinds of things, it definitely helps. It's definitely going to help me in the future, because I feel like it's helping me to understand how to grow relationships, which is a skill that I don't necessarily, I feel like I have that skill set more now than definitely I did in the past, but it's still something that I'm learning about. So these ways of intimacy and being in connection will definitely help me as I open myself up to the next level for me, which is finding my man. Where my man at? I think that I'm ready to be in a relationship, but I don't know. Maybe that's the podcast episode for another day, but I was just talking to my therapist about this and he was like having me break down like all the relationships that I've been in. My very first being this guy named Robert, which was a really nice relationship that I sabotaged. I bombed. I totally bombed that relationship. I'm telling you, your girl, she just, y'all, I wish I could have you understand the amount of growth that I have had to go through to get to even just this spot where I am. And that's with the understanding that I still, honestly, there is still much to uncover. There is still much that needs to be addressed and is asking for me to give it some love and support and understanding. I am nowhere near it. Like if there was a perfect, if there was ever someone that was completely healed and perfect, which I, listen, I know that there's not, I'm just saying, you know, go with me here. If there was an actual thing where someone could get to like 100%, you know, healed, I would probably put myself at like maybe like a 40%, 50%, something like that. And I'm damn near almost 50 years old. Okay. So I just want you to allow that to sink in for a minute. But yeah, I feel like it's just being able to establish friendships is helping me to prepare myself for the next level of actually being in a beautiful, healthy, loving relationship with my husband, wherever he is. I don't know. I don't see him. But I know he's out there. I know he's out there. I do. All of this stuff that I'm doing now, all of this work, all of this compassion that I'm showing myself, all of this love that I'm starting to be able to allow into my life. Because that's another thing when it comes to just being in a relationship and friendship with Black women, it's like, it helps you to love yourself more. When you are in relationship with, you know, that person that you click with, obviously, because it's not necessarily just any and everybody. Because again, keep in mind that we're in different levels. Some of us are moving in a certain direction of being this type of healed person that's living a life of liberation, freedom, self-love, reparenting ourselves, like doing this kind of work. And as we like uncondition our minds and things like that. And there's still other people that just don't believe in that. They're not ready for it. They can't handle it. They don't even know what it is. And so they cannot give you that. They can't give you that of themselves because they don't have it even for themselves and they don't even know it, if that makes sense. So yeah, my desire for you, my wish for you is that you are able to build these friendships with these Black women because they're important, they're necessary, they to me, they're like a requirement for me. They're like a requirement for me, real talk, because I know how much more that abundance and healing is gonna come to me, because I'm able to show up in that way for myself and for these relationships, these other women that I am creating these relationships with and connecting with. So it's just very important. So yes, if you can go and hold another Black woman's hand, don't just grab her hand and be like, hey, I'm grabbing your hand. But like, in other words, you know, seek out opportunities to be vulnerable if that is something that you're able to do. And co-create or create these relationships with other Black women where you both, or you all, your circle or you and her, you feel comfortable being intimate in that way. Again, because a lot of us were taught that it's bad, it's ugly, it's wrong, it's whatever, okay? But there are different levels to intimacy. And for me, it's just something that I want in my life. I want to be able to feel like I have this person and be like, oh, I feel like that's my sister. I feel like that's my family, like real family. I feel like I can just connect with her. I feel like I can be myself. I feel like I can be loving towards her. She can be loving towards me. I can accept her love. I can receive her love. Again, at the beginning, it might be hard if you were not in that type of environment to be able to receive love and give love freely. You may not have been raised in that type of environment, but I feel like it's definitely a part of the healing work and it's really necessary. So, you know, if you find yourself finding it really hard to make friends, which for me has been hard, especially because I'm very introverted. You know, first of all, I would say talk to God about it. That's number one. Make it very clear that that is what you really, really want. Once I started doing that, I promise you, things started changing. I was like, oh, this person is coming back to my life. Or, oh, this person texted me and was like, hey, let's go to lunch. Like, it was just really weird. Like, and then actually someone else, but it's not a woman, it's a man. He was like, hey, in the next few weeks, you know, let's get together and link up. Because we talk about like business and stuff like that. But it's funny, like when you put it out there, like, this is what I want, at least for me, I'm in this place where these things are starting to happen. And it's a beautiful thing. So like I said, number one, talk to God about it. Like that's where me personally, that's where I would start. If you're struggling in this area of just like finding friends and being able to be yourself and be intimate with your friends, like I would say, start with that conversation with God. Be real. Let God know how you feel, like what you want, like all those things. You can go to God and talk, have those conversations, okay? Don't ever feel like you can't, because you can. So that's where I would start. And that is one of the ways that I did start. And then also it's gonna look like you having the courage, because it does require courage. It does. It requires having a bit of bravery, which can be hard. But it's going to require you having some courage to kind of get out of your bubble a little bit and just kind of see what's in front of you, whether it's you finding friendships online to start with or finding communities online to start with. Maybe it's you coming out of your bubble and seeing that other Black woman at work that, you know, in your mind, you're like, wow, she seems really nice, but you never talk to her because maybe you work in different departments, or maybe she works in your building. She doesn't even work at your job, but you see her when you're going in the elevator every so often. You're like, wow, she seems really, really nice or really, really sweet. And having the courage, maybe one day, the next time you see her, even though it might be hard, at least it might be weird for me, because again, you know, and maybe you're not like this at all. Maybe you're just like extrovert and you're like, hey girl, you know what I mean? And I love that too, because that's not me. But maybe it requires you just having a little bit of courage and just saying, hey, you know, this might sound a little weird, but I was just wondering if, you know, you wanted to like go grab some coffee one day, or just like starting the conversation. Maybe just even say hi the next time, like, hey, are you look cute today? Like if she looks really pretty, or, you know, whatever, just, hey, you look cute. And just kind of starting to kind of like have a conversation with her. You know what I mean? So just being open to that and having the courage to do like those little steps like that. I promise, like, once you start to put yourself out there in that way, it may not happen overnight necessarily, but it might. But I feel like once you start putting yourself out there in that way and like asking for the things that you need or showing up in that way, for those things will kind of just like start to come to you in such a way. I promise you. But yeah, it does sometimes require a little bit, or for some of us, a whole bunch of courage. Okay. But that's kind of like where I would start. And something else that I would do is I would look at the existing friendships that I have and ask myself, who are these people can I really show up as myself as? Who are these people in my circle can I be more intimate with? Whatever that looks like for you. For me, it might look a little bit different, but like I said, when I was able to just reach across that table and hold her hand, mind you, I hadn't seen this woman in like 10 years at least, but I just felt it in my spirit, like to reach out and just to hold her hand. And we held hands and we talked for like, that part was maybe like a few minutes, and she just matched my energy and she matched my handhold. And I left that experience feeling so refreshed and rejuvenated and seen and heard and loved and supported, okay, from a combination of the things, including that touch, which was very powerful. And I know, or I'm assuming, at least that's what she said as we were leaving, I know that she left feeling that way too. I know that she left feeling like she was poured into in that way as well. So yeah, that is my hope for you. That is what I want for you. There is power in that connection. There is power in that friendship. There is power in that touch. There is power in that intimacy that we weren't necessarily shown or taught or talked to about or educated on, but it's there for us to have. It's there for us to draw on. It's there for us to grow and expand and tap into if we're open to it. And we know how to make ourselves open to it. So that is my hope for you. That is my wish for you. That is my prayer for you. I am wishing abundance of that type of energy and relationship and intimacy in your life with other Black women. Okay. All right. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. I actually made it through, which is beautiful. And I'm excited to pop this up onto YouTube. Maybe very soon. I don't know. I'm sure that the episode will definitely go on the podcast much sooner than the actual video part of this will go to YouTube. But maybe I'll get it up there in the next 30 days. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. And as I wrap up, hey, special shout out to my Patreon members. I know that because I'm a one-woman show, I'm not able to do all the things and I don't want to do all the things, but I genuinely appreciate my Patreon members who are just like ride or die there to support, even though I'm not able to show up consistently. They just appreciate the fact that I do show up when I can and how I can. And so that's a beautiful thing. So, hey, Patreon members, shout out to you. Thank you for your additional support. I really appreciate you. If you would like to join me on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/, I think it's just Brown Girl Self-Care, and join me there. Appreciate those of you that do. And what else do I have? I think that's honestly it for now. I think that's it. So I'll go ahead and wrap this up. If you need to reach me, by the way, if you're looking for self-care coaching or anything like that, you can email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, that's connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, at browngirlselfcare.com. So now that's officially it for this episode. I appreciate you vibing with me, and I will see you next Monday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast.